Our God is with you.
And also with you.
This is a radical story of how we are to live. It's taken from the Gospel of Luke. Now, there was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, what is written in the law? You understand it. How do you read it?" And he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Henry replied, "Well, you've answered correctly. Now do this and live that." But he wished to justify himself. And so he said to Jesus, "And just who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "Well, let me tell you a story. There was a man who fell in with robbers, and he went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And they stripped him, and they beat him, and they went off, leaving him half dead. Now a priest went by, going down that road. But when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came to that place. And when he saw him, he passed to the opposite side as well. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at his sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and he bandaged him. And then he lifted him up on his own animal and took him to an inn. He cared for him there. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave it to the innkeeper with these instructions, 'Now you take care of him. If you spend more than what I've given you, I will repay you on your way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was the neighbor to the robber's victim?" Well, the lawyer said, "The one who treated him with mercy." And Jesus said, "Well, go and do likewise." My brothers and sisters, the good news of Jesus. How about that first reading? Could you hear how bewildered Moses was concerning the people of his day? I mean, imagine Moses' frustration that is expressed in about him and this story and his people. Give a little background on it. The people were about to go to the promised land. That's where we are in Deuteronomy. Now, Moses had brought them this far, but Moses was not going to be journeying with them into the land. He had done some stuff, and the Lord said, "No, the people will go." Now, Moses had led the people out of the land of Egypt, defying the great Pharaoh. He won their freedom. He crossed the sea with dry land. They had built, when the people complained about not having food, even though Moses said, "You'll have enough." They got enough, but don't take more than one day's, because I want to build up your trust in God. That didn't work. People saw many gods by other people that they traveled through, and they say, "We need to have more gods than just one." And so they built this golden calf when Moses was up on the mountain. He took too long getting back. And Moses also led them through the desert. And right now, they're at the doorstep of going in. I think Moses might have been like a concerned parent. You know, when you know how many mistakes your kids have made, and you're wondering, are they going to make it? And then you get frustrated with them. And what can you do? I think that's where Moses was in that. This is the point at which the people needed to make a covenant with God. Moses knew he wasn't going to be with them. But he also knew that God was always with them through this whole journey, in good times and in bad. He knew the faithfulness was what brought them so far. He also knew that these people could get distracted real quick. They kind of have an ADD attitude. And he knew how demanding it can be. We want things right now. So Moses, this great leader, can you hear him talking today? I mean, come on, people. Don't you know that it's really simple? If you folks would just listen to what the Lord says. Love God with your whole heart and whole soul. Moses saying, it's that simple. Do that. Well, Moses knew that in Deuteronomy there's 199 laws. And that's way too complicated. But somehow they felt security in that. And there's 613 laws in the other parts. Somehow they found some kind of security in that. But Moses said, the only thing you got to do is love God with your whole heart and your whole soul. Don't have to worry about somebody telling you cross the sea. Don't have to worry about somebody telling you cross the ocean. It's right here in your heart. You just have to live it. Now we have Jesus coming online. He finds a similar thing. Remember last week? Last week, Jesus gathers the people and sends them out as buddies, as someone famous said. He sends them out two by two. And what does he tell them to take with him? Nothing but who you are. Go out and share who you are. Don't take anything with you. And if your peace rests on people, it'll return to you. And if it doesn't, that's okay. Those people aren't ready yet. So move on. If they bring something for you to eat in front, eat it. Accept who the people are. That's what it's saying. And then do that. And if they don't want you, that's okay. Move on. And what happened? They came back and they were celebrating. They said, even the devils, Satan obeyed us. They were thrilled with it about how good they... And all they did was trust in the Lord. So that brings us to today's reading. Because Jesus went and said, blessed are the eyes who see what you have seen. He's talking to the 72. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have seen what you have seen, but did not see it. And hear what you heard, but did not hear it. And so now comes this expert of the law. And he doesn't want to hear it. He ain't ready. And he says, teacher, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life? I'm not going to go through the parable again. But you know what the parable was. And Jesus said, love your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. You ever notice that Jesus wasn't frustrated with that lawyer? He just said, you said what it was, now go do it. He didn't come on with a guilt trip. He just said, go do it. Listen to what God says and find it in your heart and do that. Why was it so hard for that lawyer? You notice he didn't call. Oh, it was a Samaritan who was his neighbor. He said the one who did mercy. He couldn't even bring himself to that. And yet Jesus didn't get frustrated with him. Jesus had a little bit different way of dealing with it. Richard Rohr goes and says, well, before I get there, I was talking with Carol Everman. She used to come here and about the Course of Miracles. And she said, do you remember when we studied that? And what it was that we studied in the Course of Miracles, whatever you have is more than enough to give away. It's never too little. I bless the world because I bless myself. And it begins with loving me. Richard Rohr describes how we grow in love for God and ourselves. The God of Jesus incarnates himself and embodies not a distant God, but a God that's right here, right with us. Jesus is not sitting up on a throne, Rohr says, demanding you worship. Jesus never said that like Zeus did. Jesus never said, worship me. He said, follow me. Do what I have done. You know what the rule says. Now just go do it. Jesus asked us to imitate his journey of full incarnation that embodies the divine. He reminds us of these two commandments. Love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and love your neighbor yourself. That's all we got to do. You know, somehow, many people can conclude, and I'm not sure how that happens, but that attending church services is the way we make God happy. I don't think that's the way it works. For some reason, we think that. And maybe it's some teaching that happened with us. The only time I can think of Jesus talking and mentioning church or synagogue is when he said, if you have a difficulty with a brother or sister, put your gift down, go make up with the brother or sister, and then bring your gift to the altar. So which was more important is what he teaches us. Now, that doesn't mean, don't get me wrong, that church isn't important. Church is a place where we need to come to connect with each other, to remind us that we're all interconnected. And not just here, but with people throughout the whole world, in all its diversity and all its wonder, that we are one with all the universe, that's all there. That's where we are, so that we can go out and live that love. We have church to say, I love me. And how do I know that? The gospel, the letter of 1 John says, we know how we're loved because God loved us first. That's what church is for. Remind us how loved we are and how we need to share that love. Rohr goes on in one way and says, he believes that our inability to recognize and love God is what causes us to separate each other in religions and separate religion from our actual life. I was listening to a podcast that Tom Cruise gave me. And one was evangelical and one was a Catholic. And they both were talking about the Sunday morning where people cut each other. They go to church on Sunday and then how they cut each other off in the parking lot. How it didn't carry over into everyday life and how they made different gestures to each other about being cut off. The only way I know to teach anyone to love God is first to seek loving myself and understanding how I am loved. And that includes understanding reaching out to people who are here and people who are my neighbor, which includes my enemy. My friend Carol, whatever you have is enough to give away. It's never too little. I bless the world because I bless myself. We love people and things not in and of themselves and not for what they do for us, because love is not transactional. We somehow kind of thought that. Love is living, and that takes work and that takes surrender. It's slow, but it's really an expansion of our own consciousness, our own awareness of the divine that dwells in each one of us. And I need to see that divinity in me. I need to be able to see that divinity around me when I see a sunrise. I need to be able to see that divinity around me when I see plants growing up. I need to be able to see that divinity in my neighbor, my enemy. Maybe they don't understand it, but that's not a reason for me to be able to condemn them, to curse them out, to be hateful to them. My job is to show them God's love, that God loves them just like God loves me, and God loves me the way God loves them, and to bring them to a different consciousness. When we do that, we're not the central reference point. We learn that love grows in circles. We learn love by gathering together here and loving the diversity that's here. And then we need to take that out to our friends outside and to our neighborhoods and to our city and to our nation. And our nation needs to hear that lesson today. We're so divided on too many things, we need to grow that and send that out. It must go beyond the boundaries of church until we can finally do what Jesus did. Jesus went beyond the boundaries of church to loving God with his whole heart, mind, and soul. Remember what he said when he was up on the cross? Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's real love. Can we do that for our neighbor? Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And in that, we teach them love. And it comes in simple ways. A friend of mine was talking about another friend of hers who they have diametrically opposed political systems and understanding. And she says that she'll get given conversations with her and it'll start to bump. But she seeks to understand the person and hopes that they'll understand her. And they leave like, And then she'll call her back the next day and say, do you have that cookie recipe? And she's like, yeah, I guess. And she shows her love by asking for that cookie recipe. It's in the small things that we do in life that reaches out to our neighbor, even if we're butting heads. And it's by showing them love that we become what Jesus was saying. Love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and love your neighbors yourself. And what does God love? God loves us all. I open up for your comments.